Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. It's been a while since I've done a podcast down on the beach, but today it's a little bit raining and I'm here on my own. There's not much wind, and so it's perfect to do a rebirth of the beach podcast. Today I heard a guy talking about the British Rail decision to spend $7 billion on increasing the speed of the trains that go from London to Paris and back. And this guy was talking about the psychology of it. So he said his argument was that if they, because they approach this logically, yes, it's a really good thing, it's logical to spend $7-8 billion to make a train go faster, because who wouldn't want to go faster between London and Paris and back? It makes it more competitive with flight, etc., etc. He's arguing that there's a certain psychology that wasn't applied to the equation, and I think it's worth sort of noting his comments. And the first one was, if you put Wi-Fi on the train, which there isn't, you would have spent less than 0.01% of the total budget. And people would have enjoyed the train ride, and the 20 minutes that you save would have been less important. And that's a powerful piece of thinking. The second point he made is, if you hired Victoria's Secret models, male and female, for the next 20 years to walk up and down the carriages while it's en route in fashion or less fashion clothes, people would have been asking for the train to take longer rather than go faster. And he just gave those two quick examples of where logic and rational thinking is the death of life. And that's my topic for the day, is that logic ain't always the best way to approach everything. The person speaking was also talking about that if you're crazy, you need a logical person to temper your thinking. So a crazy person who is illogical needs logic to bring them back to earth. But most people are not crazy. However, we treat most people like they're crazy by applying logic to everything they think. And therefore, it's death by logic. The human spirit, the human emotion, the human psychology is capable of extraordinary things, provided that logic is not the filter through which that thing will pass. And you see it in company meetings all the time. You see it in relationships. One person comes home from work. They've been in their logical job doing logical work about logical things that logical give logical results to logical balance sheets, to logical interactions, and walk in the front door and measure their tempo and measure their interactions logically. It's logical that I got home. It's logical that I'm having dinner. It's logical that I eat this. It's logical. And of course, the other person who's at home, my kids maybe, aren't necessarily logical. And then that individual who's come home logical gets frustrated. Now, frustration just shows that an individual's stuck, and it's usually stuck in rational thinking. Now, we talk about this a lot in the podcast. We say we go to work, we're in an aeroplane, we take off. It's like we're in a Learjet up in the sky, and then when we get home, we've got to bring that aeroplane, that Learjet, back down to land. Sometimes a person's work is illogical. So they might be creative, they might be inspired, they might be doing things like coming up with new advertisements or coming up with new programs that aren't logical, coming up with new ideas, inventions, creations, new thoughts, new websites, new whatever. And so they get home and they can be in that state of mind, which means they have, their aeroplane is illogically flown, and they come back home, and if they walk in the front door with that going on, they're going to be illogical around everything in the home. They need to land their plane and come back to logic. So it's not a generic thing to say we need to be less logical in our interactions with family and more logical at work. It's not a generic thing to say those two things happen. However, when we talk about inner wealth, we talk about living inspired, we say a balanced person is balanced in each area of life. That means we don't balance what we do at work with what we do at home. More logically, we say, I'm going to have a balance at work and balance at home. That means a balance of logic and illogic. Now, we don't fluctuate in and out of these two states very easily. A person gets into their logical brain and usually stays there for the entirety, or a person gets into their maddy creative brain and stays there for their entirety. They get horny, or they get emotional, or they get, and they don't quickly go from emotion down to rational. If they did, we wouldn't have psychotherapy and we wouldn't have books on self-help. There would be no need for it. But the fact that people get stuck in a piece of their brain that wants to function in one, in a rational sense, and can't shift into their irrational, or get stuck in their irrational and can't function across into their rational. That's why we have the crazies amongst us and people doing crazy things, because they get stuck in a piece of their brain. Now, the reason most people will get stuck in a side of their brain is because they judge the other side. So they'll see someone being creative, emotional, or not logical, and they'll go, bloody stupid person. And they'll judge that person and therefore judge the part of themselves that is creative. Now, I say really clearly, the biggest problem we have is over-rationalization. It's not that we have too many creative people, too many inspired people on the planet. We have too many logical, rational, mechanically thinking A plus B equals C people who are living for balance sheets and living for P&Ls and living for engagement scores and all the other things that have become so mechanistic in our planet. And I don't think we have too many people who are going, what inspires you today? How do you feel? What's the newest thought we can have? How can we approach this differently? What are we going to do to relabel things? How are we going to see things differently? I don't think we have an abundance of those. So the biggest judgment we have on this planet at the present time, in the Western world at least, in the first world, is an excess of judgment of the crazy, an excess of a judgment of the creatives, an excess of judgment of the spirit, of the freedom, irrational thinking is a powerful, powerful element of success in business. It's not just which property am I going to buy and how much will it appreciate. It's how do I feel about owning that? Does it inspire me? I mean, you've got thousands of examples where you can buy something and it's cheap, it's good quality, it's everything you could ask for in the thing you buy, but for some reason you just don't feel right about it. And that feeling is very important to include that in the weighing up of your options and looking at the future. Nobody dies being happy about being so logical. Nobody dies doing that. We get remembered, we get thought about for the irrational side of things. And I think this is the equation that I think we all need to pay attention to that our emotions are not bad. Our feelings are not bad. They're important. And sometimes they are more important. Of course, we don't want to go crazy. And so rationality is there to temper those things so that we don't, let's say, sell the house and give the money to charity, or get a divorce and then realize we've done the wrong thing. You know, the rational aspect of life is there to help us be emotional, to be logical, to be spirited. The rational part of our brain is there, so we get structure in which we can be emotionally driven. When we do the emotional shower, you know that the purpose of that thing is to bring us back to earth every now and again and make sure that we're not being driven by emotion. And I think that's really important, not to be driven by emotion. Emotions are the feelings we have, and those things are important, but we don't want to be driven by emotion, because emotions are incredibly temporary. Logic, on the other hand, if we're driven by logic, we will bore ourselves to death and we'll become resistant to change. We'll become fear-based, because logic and fear go hand in hand. Logic and fear go hand in hand. Logic generates or relies on an awareness of what possibly could go wrong and what can go right, and balancing the rights and wrongs of something, the logic of something, will lead us to what's called ambivalence. And ambivalence is the meeting point between rational thinking and emotional thinking. And it's not a permanent place to be, but it's not a bad place to be when we're about to make an important decision. So this is not letting the bird out of the cage, watching it fly away and going, "Oh, I'm so emotional, I'm so spirited." Nor is it caging the bird in a cage that's too small and suffocating it. It's actually embracing the diversity of being a human and looking out for where you could possibly join the millions and billions and trillions of people who judge the crazies on the planet, the creatives. Make sure you own that part of yourself. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.